to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I was stoked to hear that Ryan Leaf will be joining the CW this season as an in-booth, in-stadium broadcaster. He will be on Portland State, Washington State on Saturday in Pullman. But before all that, he's joining us right here on this show. Ryan Leaf, how are you, man?
I'm well, John. How are you doing tonight?
I am holding on to the last bit of summer. My kids go back to school tomorrow, and so it's making me think about all the things I did in my childhood summers. When I say childhood summer, what did little Ryan Leaf do growing up?
I spent a lot of time, playing pickup basketball, running around all summer long, and then spending time up at the lake with my brothers and cousins. That's what I remember with my summer's childhood. And it's kind of stuck with it. I've just substituted basketball now with golf, and we try to get to the lake as much as possible in the summer. So it's kind of the same when I'm adult as well.
You've got a little one at home, and obviously you've got multiple kids at home, but little one at home. This football season's starting now. Did you get enough time? Mm-hmm. Did you get enough time with the family and the kids?
I did, and I didn't see this as a blessing when it happened, but my show was with PointsBet Sportsbook, and they were bought out by Fanatics. And instead of continuing with the content side of things, Fanatics just chose to buy me out of my contract, which meant no show this year. But it did allow me to be home for the 9 months of my baby's life, first 9 months of her life. Something I really wasn't able to do with our son 7 years ago because I was, I was out there hustling. I'd only been out of prison for 3 years, and I was trying to, support and build the family. And so it ended up being a real blessing in disguise, I think. And I've got 9 months, and it really allowed me to take this job with the CW because I didn't want to at first simply because of the travel. We have moved to the East Coast. That's significant travel. It's significant time away from my family, but because one impacted the other, it allowed me to be, we're going to her 9 month visit tomorrow for the doctor. And so the first 9 months I've been here every single day with her, which has been amazing.
That's awesome to hear. It's great to hear that you're going to be and see that you'll be on the CW this season. Tell me a little bit about that. Why is that important to you? I know I saw you in Vegas at the Pac-12 media night, that mixer, and you were on stage. And, you care, obviously, about these programs, and you know these programs. But I think it's great that the CW is going to have somebody who understands Pac-12 football in the booth.
Well, thank you. These two schools are meaningful to me. Of course, my alma mater in Washington State. And then Oregon State. I remember developing a really neat relationship with Gary Payton when I had first become a professional football player. And I remember him telling me that the thing I said the night of the event, that you have to be somebody special to be a Cougar or a Beef, he told me that, 26, 27 years ago. I remember him telling me that. And I always held that close to my chest because I was kind of like, that's cool. Gary Payton, who's one of the greatest basketball players to ever walk the earth, understands kind of what it means. And of course he does, of course he knows what it means to be a Beav and a Coug. And I think that's pretty special. So, when I was asked, once I kind of got over the idea of the travel every week and was it worth the travel, I really did. I thought it would. I thought what the CW was doing was impactful. I wish the conference would have gone in just all in, I think, a little bit more and maybe looked to the CW more like the NBC for Notre Dame and kind of made it their own, not giving up some of those Fox games and things like that. But, they did what they did. The manufacturer will see what next year looks like. And I also thought, what would be 180 degrees different in terms of values for what my last job was, calling games for the last 4 years, and that was with ESPN. And this was it. This network was going all in with the Pac-12. They were wanting to build something special with them, showcase that they have their back, that they wanted to celebrate college football. So I kind of felt like that was, you know, exactly the direction I had to go, that 180-degree difference from where ESPN lives and the values that they share.
Let's go back to that, because I'm with you on that. I have not appreciated the way that Pat McAfee has talked about the Pac-12. I don't like that ESPN sort of, in its shoulder programming in particular, sets up to be a propaganda machine for their properties at the expense of, you know, a lot of others that aren't in the cool club. But you were in the middle of that. Give us an idea what you're talking about. 180 degrees.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty adamant last year about some of the stuff that went on with Collins Game Day, and you know, I let them know about it. I was currently working, calling games on their digital platform, ESPN Plus and Big 12 Now, and they didn't take it very well, I guess, the criticism. And I was asked to no longer call games there, and I immediately in that moment knew that that was probably the right choice, right? You know, that just our values weren't in sync. I wanted to celebrate college football, and at the time, Washington State and Oregon State were both undefeated, top 15 teams, and instead of celebrating college football that day, they made a joke about it, and unfortunately, you know, they kind of doubled down on it, and I think when we look back on it, we're going to see that, you know, they were on the wrong side of history there. And so when the opportunity presented itself this year to call college football games, I didn't know I'm going to be calling a lot more NFL games this year on the radio with Westwood One. But, you know, I wanted to still, you know, kind of have a footprint in college football because it means so much to me. And what could mean more to me than my alma mater and what Oregon State are going through, and to be a part of that, to tell the stories of these players, of these coaches and these organizations, and watch what Teresa Gould is going to do to move this forward, because, you know, this isn't over. Like, there's going to be another shakeup here, you know, when that college football playoff media rights deal is up, and they're going to be, the fact that Washington State and Oregon State, you know, held on to that brand, the Pac-12 brand, I think is a meaningful thing.
Ryan Leaf is with us. Just one thing on ESPN. I mean, they will hold up that shoulder programming and say, look, it's just free speech. It's just opinions. It's great that people are talking about college sports. But when people start talking back at them, they don't take it very well. And, you know, I have always said, Ryan, that, like, you gotta feel good about where you're working. And so, you know, I'm not surprised that you, and I've talked to you about this before, I just think you're an authentic person. I'm not surprised that, you know, you sniff that out and you kind of go, okay, if you don't think there's room for me, then it's not somewhere I want to be. Like, you know, I don't want to be a part of a club that wouldn't have me, kind of thing.
Yeah, what's ironic about this, John, too, is that I'm more confident now in myself with all the scars and all the judgment and all the baggage, because I like who I see in the mirror, than I was when I was a professional football player, which is, you know, it was an amazing statement to make. It just is. It's just the acceptance of myself with all that comes with it is such a freeing thing, you know. It makes me feel really good about, you know, doing the next right thing. And then not caring what anybody else has to say about it. You know, like, I don't care if you judge me or think of me like this. I know who I am. I like that guy. You know, let's go call some Pac-12 ball.
Did they call you and say, hey, we can't have you talking like that, or we're pulling you off games, or did they just take you off the schedule and that's how you know?
Yeah, they the coordinating producer calls and says, hey, we're going to take you off. And I said, well, you're not making this decision. Somebody else is. you know, and he said it was above his pay grade. And so I said, can I speak to the above the pay grade people and hear this? And so when they called, it had been a few days. I was able to kind of corroborate, you know, what I thought had happened. And when they talked to me, they were, you know, they almost confirmed it. Well, they did confirm it, actually, that it was, that it had a lot to do with McAfee and Herb Street. And I said, well, that's good. That I don't want to be a part of something like this. You know, and what's ironic is that, you know, I really like calling football games. It's my favorite thing to do, in broadcast sports. They didn't pay me anything, right? They paid me like $1,500 a game, like nothing. You got guys on that network making $1 million a game and doing the same thing that I'm doing, but I don't care. Put me in a parking lot with the high schoolers and playing 7-on-7 or something like that. Like, I just love it. I love looking at the film all week. And so I didn't care, you know, that I was in calling Sam Houston State in Houston, you know. It's just cool to be in talking with coaches, being in the stadiums and calling games. So that was, there was a sadness to it because I lost that. But I immediately called my boss at Westwood One, Howie Denneroff, and I just said to him, I told him the truth. I was like, hey, this is what happened. I don't want anything else to be, you know, said differently. And he's like, I gotcha. We'll get you some more games. And sure enough, you know, he got me some college games. I called the FCS championship game. And then I ended up calling, 7 NFL games out of the final, 6 weeks of the season, including 2 playoff games. So it was incredible to see, you know, somebody have your back, know that you work hard and do a good job at it. And then allow you to go out and do it. And so really grateful for him and the opportunity, really grateful for the CW and the opportunity. I think that, for me, I always want to get better. And I think being in the booth with Ted Robinson, who's an absolute legend, is going to just make me better, and make me a better analyst. And that's all I can ask for.
Former Washington State standout and NFL player Ryan Leaf with us now, broadcasting among other places on the CW. Dennis Miller, the CW, the president, joined us. He talked. I kind of got excited hearing about like his vision for what the CW could be and how much they want to expand and move into sports. Do you get any sense, or is it too early to kind of tell how ambitious the CW might be?
Yeah, I think it's a little early. I think they've shown quite clearly what they're invested in. They're invested in a very diverse, you know, sports market, right? We're talking about LIV Golf as of now, NASCAR, ACC football, and the Pac-12. Those are examples of being very diverse, right? They're not what people would consider maybe the mainstream outside of NASCAR. I think NASCAR is going to be a boondoggle for them. I really do. I think that's just a win for everybody on that end of things. But yeah, I'm excited about that. Like I can't tell you, John, enough about how good it feels to have somebody, you know, want to build something with you together, like at the beginning of things. I think that's been kind of the biggest thing for me in sports broadcasting. And I think there may have been a bit of delusion to me that, it was better than what it was. You know, I've worked with everybody and for everybody. I've just never had anybody like go, hey, I want to build something with you and do something, sort of kind of get in on the ground floor with the CW here, kind of to see where it's going. It makes me feel like, you know, you can put your stamp on it and you can do something, you know, to make yourself great. In a business that you like to participate in. So yeah, I'm excited with you. I'm excited for the season. I think that realistically that people are going to be rooting for Washington State and Oregon State. I think there could be a real, you know, I think Yogi said this the other day, a real understanding, that these two teams could kind of fit the mold of America's teams, you know, and 'cause I want to see them. And wouldn't it be special if come November 23rd, when Washington State heads to Oregon State and Corvallis, that both of these teams were sitting around 9-2 or 10-1, ranked in the top 15. Maybe the winner gets a chance on the outside looking into the college football playoff, though I for the life of me, did not think for one second anybody on that committee is going to actually let one of these two teams in, which is disappointing in itself. But to watch Jake Dickert and Trey Bray have two teams over the next 2 years, maybe solidify a record of, you know, 19-5, 20-4. Imagine what that would do for these programs to have winning like that. I don't want to take anything away from the Mountain West, but going to Boise's hard, going to Fresno's difficult, San Diego State, those are tough places to play for anybody. But if the talent has been able to stay where it's at Washington State and Oregon State, there's a real chance for these two teams. If they pull an upset against Texas Tech or Washington or Oregon or Cal, those types of things, that this team, both these teams, could be in a real special position come November 23rd when they play on the CW in front of, I don't know, maybe if they're that good at that time, 8 million people watching the game or something like that, because everybody in the country can watch the CW. You don't need a streaming service.
I'll give you a tidbit, because on Sunday there's a deadline for the two Pac-12 schools in the Mountain West. They've got to figure out, are they going to extend the current scheduling agreement for another year? Yep. Or are they moving another direction? I'm a little bit torn because we haven't been able to see the Pac-12 schools play the Mountain West schools. But I think from a scheduling standpoint, there's a lot of ambition there. I think Oregon State and Washington State ideally would like to play as many Power 4 opponents as they could, try to fashion a Power 4 schedule together. But this season, Ryan, they've got to win games. In your mind, like, you know, for Oregon State, I just think they got to be bowl eligible in the first year. And I think Washington State, the expectation might be higher, might be 7, 8, 9 wins for them. But how important in your mind is it just to get off to a good start, have a great performance, you know, in the game you're calling in Pullman on Saturday and Oregon State playing Idaho State, and just get that first win?
I think it's big. You know, and because it's an FCS opponent, I think it has to be dominant for both of these schools. They have to be dominant in their performance on Saturdays. That's what you want. It's always been that way. And to watch FCS opponents now, you know, pick up that paycheck and walk into other team stadiums and beat them, that should not be the rule, right? It really shouldn't. Montana going to Washington a few years ago, you know, I hate to see what people in Boulder will be doing if North Dakota State walks in there and beats them next Saturday. So there's a lot that goes into it. There just needs to be a dominant performance for both of them, because what comes after that is something pretty quick. For Washington State, it's Texas Tech, who I've covered the last 2 years, you know, calling all those Big 12 games down there. And I had Texas Tech three times, maybe three or four times. And Joey McGuire's got that squad roaring, ready to go. The recruiting's crazy. They've really championed Patrick Mahomes coming back and being a part of everything there and donating. And Texas Tech's going to be good. That's going to be a real test for Washington State. And then they get Washington the following week. So, like, the first 3 weeks, if they're able to be 2-1, I think would be a huge win. If they happen to be 3-0 with two upsets, I think would probably be upsets. Texas Tech lost to Wyoming when they came up here last year. I think it's hard for them to come up and play Washington State on that in Pullman. But they were able to upset Washington in the Apple Cup. And if that team's sitting at 3-0, I mean, the sky's the limit for Washington State at that point. It really is. There's going to be a lot of confidence, and that means John Mateer's playing really, really well.
Ryan Leaf with us. Finally, before I cut you loose, these two programs and everything that it means to you, how do you as a analyst call these games and, you know, try to maintain – you know, or do you just embrace the fact that, hey, I went to school at Washington State, I'm in this with them? Do you just kind of take it head on? Do you have an approach that maybe you'll come out of the gates with as an analyst?
Yeah, well, I've called, this will probably be my fifth or sixth Washington State game. I think the last one I called was the Idaho opener 2 years ago, in Cam Ward's first start for the Cougars. And realistically, Idaho, you know, they threw an interception on the final couple plays, and got beat 24-17. You know, and I thought it showed some kind of glaring issues that Cam Ward had to deal with And I think it kind of inhibited him for a lot of the time he was there. But I don't really have a problem being critical. It's just calling football. You know, I don't think for a second anybody's not going to know that I'm a graduate of Washington State and that I played there. But, you know, I'm pretty good at doing that. It's what may come out is more frustration, whether they're not playing well enough, you know, than it will be on the other side of things. I remember that I called the Cheez-It Bowl versus Air Force, which ended up being Mike Leach's final game as the head coach at Washington State. And it made it really easy. I got a lot of compliments from people saying how, you know, unbiased I was. And I said, well, that's because there was not anything good to talk about in that game. I mean, Air Force just ran it down their throat the entire game and made it a real problem. And so I think that might be the only thing that comes across, maybe some disappointment when I'm as a fan. But I try my best and I do my best. I have mostly Oregon State games this year, though. Ironically, my Westwood One games, the first one kicks off. I have Oregon State for the Civil War for Westwood One, while Fox has it with Brock Heward and Jason Benetti. And so that's my first game with Oregon State. I get the Civil War there, and then I jump back into the CW before I head to, I think I have Oregon at Michigan November 2nd. So that should be a really fun one to I've never been to the Big House. So that should be a lot of fun to call that game as well. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. College football's here. You know, I'll be sad a little bit to leave my family. But I think this is worth it. I think this is going to be a special year of college football, and what a better place to be than the CW calling these two teams games all year long.
I got about a minute, but I saw a tweet that you put out about the flag football quarterback that was complaining that pro players might come in. Give us an idea of, like, you know, the worst NFL quarterback, how would they do against flag football competition?
I mean, come on. I mean, this is it is so fascinating to me that people don't realize that there have only been 27,500 players ever play in the NFL, ever, right, in 100 years of football. So it's so easy to online do that. Like, you know, you look at like a doctor who ends up finishing last in his class in medical school. What is he? He's a doctor still, right? I mean,
right.
The worst NFL quarterback ever. If you want to say that to me, fine. I still walk in to tryouts for the NFL play, or for the flag football thing for the Olympics, and dominate. Have a better chance than any of those guys. Yeah. It's, you know, and so I joked about it, but, you know, why not? Why not? I don't have to do anything. Yeah, but I think a quarterback's going to have to run around and do quite a bit. I think that's probably the difference in the flag football side of things. If I had to just sit in the pocket and throw it, you know, 52-year-old me probably could still do that.
Ryan Leaf, you're the best. Catch him on the CW. Thanks for joining us, man.
You bet, John. Thank you. I appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you this season.
I will. Leave it here.